Good morning. So good to see all of you gathered here together to worship God in song and study His Word. Here at Tempe Church, we are trying to pursue life with God together. And so wherever you are on that journey, we welcome you. If you are a guest today, I hope that you will fill out one of the cards in front of you and put that at the end of your pew or give it to me after service. We'd love to have a record of you being here and be able to connect with you further. I just wanted to say thank you to Laura and those on the praise team today. Thank you so much for leading our hearts in worship to God. We're going to be talking about the word embrace, which actually flowed through several of those songs really well. And also, I missed Carolyn playing the piano during communion. It was oddly quiet, and I was like, what is different today? So maybe next week. All right. Thank you for your sharing of your gifts with us. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 9 and also Mark chapter 10 today. So Mark chapters 9 and 10 in just a minute, as we're continuing this series, Inconceivable, things that we have not yet thought of, things that seem beyond belief, and yet with the kingdom of God, its presence in our world, this is the way things now are or will be. This is what God is leading us toward. And I kind of tricked myself this week because the whole purpose of this is to challenge our minds to think a little bit differently about the world we're engaging with. And so I had this lesson. I picked these themes a while back. I said, okay, I've got this lesson. Today we're going to talk about children and receiving the kingdom of God as a child. And I had kind of this outline in my head of how this lesson would go. And as I'm sure happens to you all the time, you write a sermon, right? And then you have to rewrite it because you start studying. And you're like, that's not exactly the idea I was going with. But I think God is saying something a little bit different. So I have a new conception today of what Mark chapter 9 and 10 are about. Today we're talking about this blessing of embracing children, embracing things as a child. The Baranowskis took this very literally the other night by watching children for us, so thank you very much. There's only so much blessing of children that I can take sometimes, and so thank you for also blessing parents with that. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment of reprieve as we're trying to disciple children to follow Jesus. So the book of Mark, we were in Isaiah last week, so just a quick snippet about the book of Mark. A lot of people for a long time saw this gospel as the shortest of the gospels, and they saw it as kind of just something that was thrown together, like, well, here's a good idea, and it's like the string of pearls. They don't really go together except they're all about Jesus, but here's a great story about Jesus. Oh, yeah, here's another great story about Jesus. Immediately then this happened. They don't always seem to follow very well. And yet the more I read this and the more other people are in the book of Mark, Mark is a genius to me. He almost, it's just like he does things so quick, you almost just miss his sleight of hand at how clever he is at putting these stories together the way that he does. And so we're going to read two stories today, one from chapter 9, one from chapter 10. And he puts just enough space in between them that you kind of forget the lesson of the last story. And it sneaks up on you like it does the disciples. And we're left wondering, what do we do with this? So read with me, if you will, in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. Talking about Jesus and his disciples, it reads like this. They entered Capernaum. When they had come into a house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about during the journey?" They didn't respond, since on the way they had been debating with each other about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be least of all and servant of all." Jesus reached for a little child, placed him among the 12, and embraced him. Then he said, "Whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me is actually not welcoming me, but rather the one who sent me." Move down to chapter 10, verse 13. A few things have happened in between, and Mark carries on this idea of children where he says, "People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them, but the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, 'Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it.' Then he hugged the children and he blessed them." So there's this two-sided coin. And I had been missing the second side of this coin until this week. So the first side is the obvious side, and that is that we are, in the kingdom of God, to become like little children. This is the upside-down order of God's kingdom. To be the first, you must be last. If you want to be a leader, you become a servant. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must become as a child. Embracing a sort of childlikeness for myself is what I thought this lesson was going to be about. But the other side of the coin that I didn't realize until this week is that embracing the kingdom, we ought to embrace it as if it were a child. And this just blew my mind. How could the kingdom of God be like a child? And then how do I embrace it as if it were a child? This is a profoundly odd idea to me. This kingdom of God is a child. It is like a child. It's meant to be held onto and embraced, seen for what it is. It's a living organism. It's in process. Something that's living and growing. And so what I want this lesson to be is a blessing to you. So I'm going to speak this blessing over us as we attempt to bless the world by being a part of the kingdom of God. May you embrace that the kingdom of God does not arrive fully grown. May you embrace that the kingdom of God does not arrive fully grown. And what that necessarily means is that there will be growing pains. I love things that are very certain and unchanging, and yet I also hate those things because they get kind of boring. And the kingdom of God, like Jesus himself, comes into the world as a child. But like children who are healthy, it can't stay a child. It's got to grow. It's got to move and expand and be something different and new. And it's not done yet. So how do I deal with growing pains? Because as someone who has children, and any of you who have been around children for any length of time, you realize, okay, they're in a phase. And I think I've got a handle on how to respond to this phase. And then the phase ends. And we're on to the new phase, right? And now it's something different. And that's exciting and it's great because they're growing and they're healthy and they're moving on. Yet it's difficult to deal with because I like the things I know and I can wrap my mind around things I've already conceived of, right? So what we don't want for children, for ourselves, is to be stagnant. We don't want to be unhealthy, but I sure do love what's comfortable. I am drawn to that. I asked Maddox as I was preparing for this lesson, I said, what is the best part about being a kid? What do you love about being a child? He said, getting bigger. I should have guessed that because he's always asking me questions like, how did you know how to be a grown-up? Like, it's as if there was this moment where it's like, oh, yes. Now I am grown. For those of you that know me, I'm still in process, right? We're all growing. I don't know. We've got a very wide range of ages in this room. But I would guess that most of you feel younger than your age. That within me, it's like, no, this age. And you don't have to respond if that's not true. But so often it's like, oh, am I that old now? Do people expect things of me? I enjoyed being a child. And yet I long to get bigger. We live in that kind of tension, don't we, of life, where there's this consistent change and this longing for freedom, something that will set me free from whatever this current restraint is. I'd love to learn how to drive. Whatever that next thing might be. So it's difficult to live in that kind of kingdom. I wish it had already come in its fullness and we would know exactly how it is and everything is set in order the way it's going to be from here until the end of time. That is not the kingdom that Jesus introduced. He enters the world, takes on flesh as a child in the most unlikely of ways. And yet, how else could it have been? Here we go. Let's grow together into this kingdom. So may you embrace that the kingdom of God does not arrive fully grown and that we are part of the process of introducing it to the world and helping it to grow and be healthy in what God has called us to be as his church and kingdom ambassadors. May you embrace the idea that children are an investment. If I'm going to embrace the kingdom of God as if it were a child, I've got to think this is an investment. But I probably tend to think of an investment like this is my retirement, right? This is my 401k. This is something that I will gain from later. So I will put up with it now, having less, so that I can have more later. And I think there's truth in that idea of investment here. There's some mutual back and forth. But what if we invested in the kingdom of God as a child for its own sake and not just for what I will get out of it eventually, now or later? Also, just in case you're worried about yourself for later, try blessing someone and not growing from it and not being better for it. Like, you'll get yours, don't worry. But what if you did it without worrying about that? What if you just blessed for the sake of blessing? Because Jesus says, if you welcome these children and bless them, that's what I'm after. In New Testament culture, children, they were a blessing for the family's sake, right? They're carrying on the family name, they're a heritage, they're the legacy. They have a lot of expectations to live up to. But in the meantime, they don't really contribute. They're just kind of a weight. Like, even the servants have a little bit of a higher place in the pecking order, right? Because they're at least contributing. But these kids, they're just kids. They're a necessary burden. Hopefully a future contributor. So may we embrace the idea that children are an investment and that love waits, which is not meant to be a statement on abstinence per se, but love is patient and it waits up for those who are not yet caught up with where we're at, right? Can you imagine how sad a church body would be if we didn't have time for those people who are moving at a little bit slower pace than we thought we were? Okay, everybody under the age of 15, I'm sorry, just don't have time for that. Child will slow you down, right? Wrestling them into a car seat. Whatever it will be, you know, they're going to slow you down. But gospel speed seems kind of slow, so that's okay, I think. Maybe the children actually help us get into a better rhythm of actually slowing down and doing things at God's speed. And there's some wisdom in waiting. You know, we might feel like maybe we've learned a thing or two, and we've just kind of outgrown where we came from. There's levels of truth in that, right? We grow, we learn more, we hopefully are expanding our minds and our spiritual self. But I don't remember Jesus ever saying, you know, I've kind of outgrown you. Don't have time for you anymore. Like if I've become so wise, if I've got something that's made me any better than I was before, that's something worth sharing. And it's something worth sitting down with someone who doesn't have it yet and sharing it with them. A teacher without students is not much of a teacher, right? So Jesus waits up for us. He meets us where we are, and he slowly encourages us forward. Children have this knack for pushing all the right buttons that make us question our own progress with God. But can you hang in there? Can you hold on for a little while? Can you embrace the challenge of learning something new while we wait? So may we embrace the idea that children are an investment, that investing in the kingdom of God is going to take some time, and we got to hang in there together. May you embrace your own ignorance from one child to another. Can we claim some level of ignorance? There's just things I don't know yet. I want to skip back to Mark 9:38. This is in between our two children's stories that we read. And it's some really convicting stuff that the sermon probably should have been all about, but we're just going to look at it briefly. Mark 9:38, John says to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone throwing demons out in your name, and we tried to stop them because he wasn't following us." And Jesus says, "Don't stop him. No one who does powerful acts in my name can quickly turn around and curse me. Whoever isn't against us is for us. I assure you that whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will certainly be rewarded. Whoever causes one of these little ones, one of these children who believe in me to trip and fall, it would be better for them to have a huge stone hung around their necks and to be thrown into the lake." Can we embrace that we are often ignorant and still in need of some learning? Embrace that maybe we're not the parent, since God can still hold on to that role. He's still got that job. I think it's impressive how quickly we can get from Jesus saying, what I want you to do is hug and bless and receive and love these vulnerable, easily overlooked people in society to a mode of control. The disciples are having this great debate. I wonder which of us is the greatest. Who do you think will get to sit closest to Jesus because we live so well for him? When they weren't even up to the task of just noticing the children that were clamoring for a little bit of attention from their Savior. Can we embrace this lowly status that Jesus calls us to, where it's a principle of peace over my position in hierarchy over you? I love at the end of chapter 9 where Jesus says, this is what maintains peace. This is what this salt is about. Salt is good, he says. If salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? He says, maintain salt among yourselves and keep peace with each other. Do you want people to see what flavor you really are? It's by how you're able to interact with people and love them well. And a little child shall lead them, we read last week. Boy, that's humbling. I thought I was beyond that. Maybe I've still got some ignorance to overcome in what that means. And finally, may you embrace children full of potential even before they get there. I think part of leadership in the kingdom is casting vision of something that could be way before it is. That's what Jesus was so good at. He says, can you imagine a world of peace? And I say, no, not really. I can picture it. It's hard to imagine that it could ever be. But what I love about how Jesus looks at people and what I want to be like when I look at people is to look at people and say, I don't think you've peaked yet. I don't think you're the best version of yourself yet. That's kind of a lifelong fear. At some point, we only have so many years on this earth, right? And at some point, I've had my best day I'll ever live. And it's maybe behind me. But Jesus says, but I'm not looking at you like that. I see the self underneath all of that, the child of God created by God himself. And I don't think you've peaked yet. Could you see people with eyes like that? That's challenging. Imagine that no one you've ever met has yet seen their best version of themselves. Best is still to come. You know, when Jesus laid out his 5-year business plan, the problem with that was it only lasted 3 years. But he could do that. He could go to the cross and he could die and be raised again because he saw a much further vision for what this world could be like if we embraced the kingdom as a child and grew together. Eternity is a pretty long time, so I'm hoping it's a little more dynamic than I've sometimes imagined it being, and that maybe someplace out there in the future, my best self is still waiting. You haven't peaked yet. So Tempe Church, 90 years and 1 week old, what if we haven't peaked yet? What if the best is still ahead of us? Because we take what Jesus says very, very seriously. And we embrace one another, and we embrace the very kingdom of God as if it were a child. As if it were a living thing to be loved and walked with and nurtured. I have been here 1 year next week. Yeah. But as is sometimes the case, I will not be preaching next week, so I wanted to say it this week. So I gave you that one. All right, I'll take all the barbs you can throw at me. But in my year here, I have been blessed. I've been blessed by the kingdom of God in a room full of people who are seeking so desperately to fall in love with Jesus and take him seriously when he tells us how we're to interact with one another. And I'm so grateful for each of you for showing me that, for blessing my life, and for teaching me what the kingdom of God can look like when we say, Jesus is worth pursuing, we should do that together. It's been a great year, and I'm looking forward to the next year being even better than that. And it's better because of Jesus. We hold him up, right? We hold up Jesus, who came and taught us what it was to pay attention to the things that we didn't think were important, we looked past. I thought I was important, Jesus. He says, well, let's start with the kids. Let's start with the children. Let's work from there. So may you be blessed with your ability to see with the eyes of Christ, the person sitting to your right and to your left, and the person that isn't interested in what we're doing here this morning and worshiping God, because we haven't peaked yet. Let's pray over that. Father, we thank you for who you are, for teaching us the best way to live, for challenging us to better ways of looking at the world than we have conceived of yet. We pray as we think about how to receive the kingdom as if it were a child, that we would do a good job of that, that we would continue leaning into what that means with patience and love and commitment to what is most true. We thank you for Jesus, who walked that hard road to the cross, who confronted our sinfulness and our selfishness, and who was willing to die to prove just how far you're willing to go to reconcile with us, to make peace, so that this world would be flavored and salted by peace. May we be those peaceable kingdom people who are like children in all the best ways. Bless this church for the next 90 years and beyond, and help us to be the people that you have called us to be, walking without fear, living as sheep among wolves, wise as snakes, but innocent as doves. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing our final song, I just do want to remind everyone here that we commit a lot of time to praying as a church, and we don't always do that together. But if there's something ever on your heart, following a lesson, during a time together throughout the week, that you'd reach out to me or one of the other ministry staff or one of our elders, and we would love to sit and talk with you to pray about whatever it is that that might be going on in your life. I'm just so grateful for Jesus, who teaches us how to lean in together and to seek his wisdom. So let's worship the God that teaches us wisdom.
Let's all stand, please, together.